Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DCU. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we have a celebrity dad who has a celebrity skeleton, but we can't say whose skeleton it is necessarily for legal reasons. But what are you showing? What are you you're showing off how many emails you have, Pete?
Wow, that's not that many. Okay. I mean, don't we all have a skeleton, at least one skeleton in the closet, our skeleton in our bodies?
Yes,
that's my greatest secret.
I like to think of my body as a closet, personally.
Exactly.
We're talking about skeletal origins, though, on Creature Commandos Episode 6, titled Prietel Skelet. If you haven't watched it on Max, go watch it. We're going to be spoiling it starting right now. Lots of things going on in this episode. The origin story is Dr. Phosphorus. So go back in time to Gotham City to find out how he became a radioactive man. Specifically, he was working on a treatment for cancer using radioactive therapy, but it was going to be sold to a fascist regime by Rupert Thorne, a vicious mob boss in Gotham City. And he kind of screwed up a little bit. They thought they killed him. Instead, they gave him radioactive powers. He takes over Thorne's gang and then gets taken down by Batman in a little bit of a cameo.
Batman.
Meanwhile, in the present, all of the team, or most of the team, is on the run in Pakolistan. The bride and Nina hang out in a brothel called the Can-Can, I believe, where they run into two electric-powered metahumans who are beating up the sex workers there. They end up killing them and leaving. Dr. Phosphorus hangs out with a small girl that maybe he's going to kill, but he doesn't end up killing her. And Weasel bonds with some wolves and has a incorrect flashback, thinking the blonde-haired girl that he hung out with in a previous episode back in his origin story is Princess Alana. And meanwhile, there's so much going on in this episode.
There's a lot happening.
It could be true.
Meanwhile, Frankenstein is making his way to Pakolistan to prove to the bride that he's a super cool dude. And Waller and Economos are trying to find out more about the truth of what is going on with Rick Flagg since he's in a coma. Lots of stuff. Justin, to start with since your criticism of the last episode was not a lot is going on. A lot is going on in this.
They certainly upended my takedown. Yes. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt it here. And a lot of big questions. Penultimate episode. I think the biggest, though, is, for me, is Scattergories fun.
What?
Mm. Would you ever, in the brothel, Nina is, they're trying to pass some time.
It's always a good time playing
she
Scattergories.
Come on, Scattergories. Is it fun? Is that
instant
the move?
Fighting with people you don't know? Come on. What's
that's
a better
what I'm talking
way?
About. That, yeah. It's just Scattergories? Fight.
Let's draw some lines in the sand. You know, let's see where you stand on some
that's
stuff.
Not what hanging out is.
No, get to know people. Really dig deep. Figure out what they like, what they don't like, what they consider cheating. You know, it's really, you get into it, man.
That's why I was a little confused about this, but Pete keeps saying, like, hey, do you want to go face off at the bar tonight? And I thought he was just saying hang out wrong, but now I get it.
He means he wants to swap faces with you and live in your life for as long as possible.
You get some faces ripped off in this episode. I mean, come on, man, face off.
I think this show is definitely big into ripping faces off, yeah, but not into adding them back on in a fun body switching action situation.
So let's talk about the flashback also, go ahead, Pete.
While we're talking about hot topics, I love that this episode is tackling, like, people talk about going to brothels, but it's hard not to get offered a job when you go there. It is one of the traps of the brothel that nobody's talking about. Glad it was addressed in this episode. Go ahead, Alex.
And that's happened to you multiple times.
Every time
in.
I go in, it's hard to walk out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You save a couple lives, they want to make you a manager. It is tough.
That's the slogan of most brothels is it's hard to walk in, but it's harder to walk out.
Yeah, that's true. That's facts.
Yeah. A lot of brothels do have slogans right above the
famously.
Door.
Famously.
Yeah.
Taglines. I want to talk about the flashback first because there is obviously a lot going on here. The biggest, wildest thing, I think, is without explicitly stating this, this is clearly the Batman the Animated Series universe, or at least they're doing a lot of nods there, which was wild to me.
I agree with that completely. The name checking of Rupert Thorne, I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, this show has... It could do more name checking if they really wanted to, but they hit Rupert Thorne like I want to say three times in this episode, and to set up that this is fully Batman the Animated Series, because I don't think Rupert Thorne appears in a lot of, I think he's appeared in some comics, but it's not like this is a larger character that anyone's really tracking, but it is a major villain in the Batman the Animated Series show. So I don't know what that means. I thought the Batman cameo was also odd. Like, are we bringing Batman the Animated Series canon into the new DCU? If so, why? And what is, because this, all of these origins feel like they're just a little bit of spare parts to use into this story. There's not a ton of
I think it's
meaning.
A fun, rewarding thing for the fans, of people that know what's up. You know, like, now I want more. I want to give me Mask of the Phantasm. You know what I mean? Like, let's go hard if that's what we're doing here. Have some fun. And it's not, it didn't take over the whole episode. It was like a second at the end you saw, you know, the old lightning strike and the Batman shadow. I mean, that's just fun. You know what I mean?
It's definitely first and foremost, I think, visual reference, right? Like, we know that shot, like Pete is saying, from the opening credits of Batman the Animated Series. There's also a little bit in the score. They didn't go hard on the Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
I don't remember who actually did it for the TV show, but it was riffing off the Danny Elfman stuff. But particularly at the beginning, as soon as they have this scene of, at the time, Dr. Alex Sartorius, I think is his human name, when he's being taken in, it's the same angles, it's the same look as Gotham. They have a sense of it in the score, and I was like, are they doing Batman TAS? And they definitely are. So this is a long way of saying that, like, I think people like Batman the Animated Series.
People love it.
Yes, this is a animated
show.
I've never
referenced
it before. I think they're giving a little tip of the hat there to Batman the Animated Series, but
why not?
Scott's been very specific about, like, yeah, we're not locked into this stuff. He said, I don't remember where the interview was, so apologies for not giving credit, but he was asked by somebody about, okay, these costumes we're seeing of, like, Wonder Woman, Batman, etc., are those the ones we're going to see on screen? And James Gunn was like, maybe, we'll see, I don't know. We're the ones that we have costume reference for, we put in there as a little Easter egg. Everything else, we're not going to feel tied to it. So
yeah,
that, like we've been talking about nonstop with this podcast, bothers me for my comic book continuity brain, but it also frees them up to be like, yeah, sure, we could, in Batman Brave the Bold, have it be Batman the Animated Series continuity or not.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to me, I think you're right. Like, they want to keep their options open. And this, the point of the show isn't to tie up a bunch of continuity and, you know, check boxes. But I do think it felt more like a creative reference. I feel like the Doc Phosphorus stuff was very much in the spirit of a Batman Animated Series episode, just much, much darker. And it left me with, like, and it's not like the other episodes of this season have referenced other DCU animated shows, really. Not that I noticed, anyway. So it's left me with the through line being all of these characters have had horrible things happen to them. And rather than, like, moving on from them, they're using these horrible things to maybe do something good, but also to, in the present day, veer away from better life choices, it seems like. Because the weasel stuff, like Doc Phosphorus has a moment where he plays catch with it. He throws this kid.
Yeah, he doesn't kill a baby. I mean, that's a huge step forward for him.
Yes. Well, I do have one question. He was touching her with his deeply irradiated hands.
Oh, sure. She's
going to
have problems later on in life, but she didn't.
By later on, you mean next week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets a little, you know, nuclear, you know.
In fact, that felt a little strange. But it struck me in the weasel story where he is like, he found a family. He's never been able to find a family. His whole backstory was about how he was trying to play with these kids, and it went comically wrong over and over again. And in this situation, he meets these wolves, and it feels like he has found a family. But the trauma of his flashback hits him in the present day and makes him leave them behind to go do something that will no doubt get him or someone killed. So if that's the takeaway there, I don't know what I'm meant to feel about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's, you know, that everybody kind of has a complicated history. And, it's that old Colossus, you know, or heroic moment speech, you know, it's like only takes like, you know, a couple heroic choices, you know, to turn it around.
To ruin your present day life, which is what happens with Weasel.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I think, not to beat the same drum I've been beating all along, but I think this points to like the separation. We're not really getting anything thematically going on here, or at least it's not clear what thematically is going on here until we see how it all pans out in the final episode. But like the Doc Phosphorus thing in the past clearly leads to his choice in the present. So that's good. At least there's a connection between the past thing and the present thing. But I don't see how the Doc Phosphorus story thematically connects to anything going on with Weasel. There's a lot of real estate with Bride and Nina in the brothel, anything that's going on back in America. Cersei and the Sons of Themyscira, we haven't seen in episodes, so I don't know what's going on with them. So there's still a lot of stuff.
Eric Frankenstein, though.
We do get Eric Frankenstein as well. So it's all like moving the chess pieces around the board. But I want to see a cohesive whole going on here, and that's not what I'm getting. What I'm getting is like the moment, again, like the 10 to 15 minutes of the movie before the final part of the movie, and then also we're getting this very dark Doc Phosphorus backup story or whatever.
Yeah, and like I don't begrudge, like I don't mind this structure. I do think this show does a good job of introducing big ideas and paying them off. Like the fact that we get a sort of an interesting and deep conversation, a philosophical debate about the value of life and how we use our bodies in the brothel segment. I thought that was cool. And they sort of turn it on, let you think about it and turn it off. So I think the show can land the ship with all this stuff. It's just strikes me as the stuff on the table feels intentionally dark to the point where like, I don't want the takeaway to be like, life sucks. You can't make any mistakes. And if you do, they will haunt you and you can never be happy, even if you try to be a hero. And that's a little bit where I'm at with the messaging here.
I think that's probably what it is. And it is a dark take. And again, not to focus on like the meta outside thing of what's going on with the DCU, but I continue to feel like this is a weird note to begin the DCU on. You know, I was, as one does when they're just relaxing at night, I was looking through the upcoming slate of the DCU, and it's a weird mix of stuff.
Yeah.
I like a weird mix of stuff. I'm all in on like the whole philosophy of we wait until the scripts are good. And once the scripts are good, we move through forward with the stuff. That's great. That's awesome artistically. But looking at it as like, here we go. We're kicking off with a dark show that maybe the takeaway is life sucks and then you die and we're all monsters or whatever it's going to be. Also, toxic masculinity exists, but we've kind of moved beyond that. Then we're moving into Superbad, which is introducing a lot of things, and it's about hope and heritage and whatever. Like, cool. Okay, I get that. That's the live action kickoff. And then beyond that, we have Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which we just found out has Lobo in it, which is James
Space Wolverine. Good casting.
They have a Clayface movie, and that's all we know in terms of like the approved on the calendar movies. Everything else is in development. Batman, the Brave and the Bold. There's, oh my God, I'm blanking out.
Batman 2.
Well, that, but that's not DCU. Like, that's something else that's happening to the side. We have the Dynamic Duo movie, which also is like puppets, but that's to the side. And then on the TV side, we got Lanterns, Creature Commandos season two, and that's it. So it's just good things are good, and I will continue to enjoy them and continue to watch them. But looking at it, tying it back to like, yeah, we're throwing in Batman from Batman the Animated Series, but maybe it's a different Batman than Robert Pattinson Batman, who is not connected to this universe. And also, we're going to cast another live-action Batman. That's why he doesn't talk in here. By the way, also, there's a Batman on Harley Quinn and all these other things. I think this is the sort of thing that, like, I get as a comic book reader and fan, but to an outside person, they're like, I don't know what's going on. What else is odd? I'm going to watch something else.
But I also think, the new thing is that it doesn't actually matter. Because I think we've seen in the previous iteration of the DCU and the MCU that, like, trying to connect it all doesn't really work in as a overarching strategy across TV and film. Mm-hmm. It works with a segment of films, for sure. I think that's been proven. But trying to jump back and forth between film and TV, and even trying to connect your TV into a super story, is too much. And I think that turns people off. So it may be that letting the creative lead and getting weird with it and being like, yeah, we're doing this stuff. There's a couple different Batman, but the story's so good that when we see Batman, it just has to mean Batman. It doesn't have to mean which Batman we're talking about. And maybe that's great. Maybe that's the thing that we've been missing from this stuff. And it truly is a genre led thing. I think an example of this, and then we should talk about this cartoon we're talking about, is The Penguin. The Penguin was a hit. It sort of has nothing to do with the DCU aggressively. It's literally running in the opposite direction of the current DCU, moving out of the Batman movies into something else that will be featured in Batman 2, which has been delayed another year recently. So, like, it's so far away, but it was still good, and we really liked it, and it was a success. So, let's just keep doing the win.
I think this episode was hopeful. I liked especially the start of it. I liked the consistency of the show of starting the credits at an upbeat kind of fun moment that kind of gets you kind of going. I thought this was
a blast with this. Credits. What do you mean?
When they run the, you know, the song and the number with.
Oh, okay. You love the opening credits. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fun choice, and they always pick to roll it right at a good bit. And it kind of is a nice start to every episode to kind of get you going. I think they do a great job with this show. It's consistent. It's dark, but it's a little hopeful. I mean, most of this episode, I was like, don't you kill that baby, man. Don't have cereal and then kill that baby. Come on, man. Like, you know, so it was a nice.
You might be killing before breakfast.
One quick
that
little
scene,
thing
though, where it's like, oh, I see why you think I'm smiling. I'm not smiling. I'm like, Jesus.
That's
Christ,
a good bit.
That baby,
Doc Phosphorus is
don't
great. Alan Tudyk is great. I also love the fact that, like, of all the characters, that is most just, this is Alan Tudyk, who we animated in the backstory. Like, 100%, they just traced over his face and put them in there. So that's fun. I did want to mention one quick thing, because I don't think we've talked about it here on the podcast, and somebody alerted me on some social media, and again, I do not remember specifically since it was weeks ago, but in the opening credits with
probably
James Gunn
Tumblr.
It was probably Tumblr. James Gunn, when he's typing and they spin around him, the script page is actually a script page from that episode, the episode that we're watching. That's all.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, cute little.
I like that. Well,
thanks, Tumblr account.
I do think this show is very well made. And Pete, to your point, the music is really good in this show, and it reflects both the fun side and the dark side of the tone of the show. And
yeah,
that's
and that ending's a perfect example of that. She's like, let's go kill a fucking princess. And you're like, no, don't kill the princess. Like,
or do if she's evil.
Well, I mean, she's making tough choices right now. She thinks everybody's against her. I mean, come on, man. You know.
Okay, real quick, let's go around the horn. You're in this situation. Are you killing Alana? You're a commando. You're like some sort of.
It seems like there's mixed messages where it's like one team's like,
it does seem that way. It does seem that way.
Like, don't kill her. Yeah.
But you're really identifying the central plot of this story.
Yeah.
So which side are you on? Are you killing or are you not killing?
I gotta wait for Flag to wake up out of the coma. Because once Flag's back, you know, if it's like, all right, dude, kill her, then it's like, cool. But if he's
is on the don't kill her side, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So you're trusting Flag?
Yeah, the coma guy.
Wow, but you're a real follow orders man, huh? You're like, he's in charge. I gotta do what he says.
So you're chilling.
He was the one
you're chilling, you're not killing.
I'm chilling.
Yeah, you chill or kill it, Alex?
For a killing, but I'm chilling.
I'm killing, Madden. I'm
killing. Oh, you're killing?
Really?
I'm killing. Oh, weird.
Wow. So Pete's chilling unless one man who's an arbitrary person, he says kill, and then you killing.
Yep.
Alex is just straight up killing.
I'm killing.
I'm chilling. I'm chilling. I think there's a way to solve this problem.
Wow, it's wild. Okay. Well, just talking about that, to give the lay of the land going into the finale. So we've got the bride and Dr. Phosphorus and Nina, question mark. We still don't know what's going on with her.
Well, walking fish,
she's the final episode. Yeah. And I think this is another topic. You're about to set it up maybe, Alex. But like, this show's been building toward this Nina episode. Why, yes.
It's going to be Scattergories, the whole app. I cannot wait.
They sit down and play? Very fun.
Oh, man. That'd be awesome.
Why is this show building toward Nina as the finale? We talked about this a little bit last episode, but it fully is now.
I will say there's been a lot of speculation on Reddit that she is, like, insanely powerful and did the darkest thing of all. Like, her flashback is just going to be horrific, and we're going to find out that she is an absolute monster. So...
That's sort of what I was thinking too, because they've been escalating. I guess that's not. No, they're all pretty dark.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I would just say if you have a walking, talking fish, you save that for last. You know what I mean?
What in what context do you mean that, Pete? And where would you ever? How would that ever apply to you?
I'm just saying.
Hey, by the way, how's the job with the aquarium going?
I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I bet you're not.
Trouble there. Yeah.
I bet you're not. Yeah. Too much walking and talking to that fish.
Oh man, they really frown against that.
Yeah, they do. Well, because it kills fish. Yeah, it kills fish. Yeah. And they don't have feet. So I don't know. Like, maybe that as the best version of it, if she did the worst thing and is the most willing to change out of it, maybe that's the point.
So you're saying if she's just really good at Scattergories, that's not a good enough episode for you to end
Who's good at Scattergories? Scattergories just happens. There's no real skill set there.
There's a lot of skill set.
Okay, we got a game coming up.
Well, we'll definitely see each other. There's questions about her, but my point being, just to break it down, so Doc Phosphorus and the bride all in on killing Pris and Solana. Weasel, I think, is a big question mark at this point. Like, I think
he's definitely on chill. He's going to chill after the vision again.
He thinks she's the little girl, which she's not. So he's probably going to throw a wrench in the works there. Frankenstein is trying to stop them as well, being sent by Rick Flag, and Rick Flag in a coma. Along with Brawler and Economos. We don't know exactly what's going on with them. Those forces are aligned. And then we've also got, of course, Alana and all of Pakolistan are coming for the commandos. So potentially a big, like, three-way battle going on in the finale. I could see that happening.
Yeah. How do we get the name Eric Frankenstein?
How do we
land there? Is it Eric Frankenstein's monster?
No. So I don't remember if this comes from the comics. I probably should have checked. But my assumption watching the show is because Victor is Victor Frankenstein and we have the bride, Eric, calling him Eric Frankenstein is to separate him from being Victor and the whole Frankenstein's monster. But it's weird. It's weird he's not named Adam, which is...
Well, first off, thank you for explaining how names work. That's meant so we can tell each other apart.
No, but there's the whole, exactly like you were saying, Frankenstein's monster thing, like calling him Frankenstein's
monster.
Why
would I call him Frank?
Frank Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Or Frank and period Stein, is that what you're saying? I just think it's funny that Eric is where we're at.
Have you had a collision? Come down to Frank and Stein.
That's good. A second question about the Frankenstein segment. Do you guys tip the pilot when you're getting off a plane? Because if Frankenstein kills everybody,
you got to give him a tip.
Yeah. I usually keep like a little car pin to hand them because they always they always hand me like pilot wings whenever I get to like ride.
So
in the
you hand a pilot a car pin.
Yeah. So then they know what the land is like.
That's nice because you're technically consider yourself a
car
pilot.
You're taunting them by handing them a car pin. Like you could have driven.
You could have just driven the pilot. You don't have to be in the sky, you idiot. Yeah. You could drive.
You just driven. That's just scary and dangerous. What are you doing?
I will say the last time I drove with Alex, we were driving back from a Baltimore Comic Con, and Alex drove through the craziest rainstorm I've ever seen in my life.
Nightmare. And was white knuckling it the whole way. I can't believe
I was like, I will drive. And you were like, no, I got this.
Man, that would have been a sad day to open up that newspaper.
I didn't know how to pull over, though, in the middle of that.
That was the scariest
that
part.
That also could be dangerous. You hear it because people pull over, then someone wrecks them, you know. Yeah.
No, could not see, like, 2 feet in front.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to keep as close to the car just so I could see the lights so I could...
Yeah, as close to the car, famously the safest place to be on the highway. I'm going 70 miles an hour on the highway.
Yeah, and it was like a crumple zone, yo.
Yeah, exactly. The Crumple Zone, the name of our future podcast, the car safety podcast. The beauty of it was like the movie Speed, but very slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had to keep moving, but it had to be very slowly.
Yeah. I did that one time in Ithaca.
Oh, God.
I was hanging out the window trying to see.
That was actually, though, I think the second worst time I drove anywhere. We weren't married at the time, but me and my wife were driving to Aspen, and it was in the middle of a snowstorm like that as we were going around the mountain to Aspen.
Oh, wow.
And that's like a one-lane, but cars terrifying. Going both ways thing. Horrifying.
I was driving. The way they treat mountain driving out west is insane. It truly is like, good luck. I was driving around in Colorado. I was driving a Winnebago for the shoot I was doing with Adam Pally and John Gabris. Just the three of us. I'm driving for
some
reason.
Was that the get drunk in 10 places before you die?
Close, 101 places to party before you die. Okay. Great pitch, though. Get drunk in 10 places before you die. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
That's what, you know.
We're driving around on this. I was like, we're all going to die. This is going to be a sad news headline.
Oh, man.
When we all die in a wreck that I caused.
Famous person Adam Pally, two other guys die.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Indictment.
But I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to this next episode, the last one of the season. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I really hope they stick the landing here, honestly. Like, I think, like we've been talking about, fun all along. It is, in my mind, a movie with a bunch of like backstories thrown in. If they can bring it all together, that's crazy. I don't think that'll happen. Like, are we going to see the brothel people show up? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they just need to land the main present story of the movie and bring it together in a satisfying way that is fun or heartbreaking or whatever they want to go for. And I don't know. I have faith in James Gunn to do it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm pulling
Any
for
other,
just the
Justin,
just
what's your final
full categories going? Episode for the last one. All they do is play
the full scat, as they call it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this. I've enjoyed this show. I mean, we've criticized it a little bit for different things, but I do believe in the creative team here. Like, I think it will all amount to something. I'm surprised the way that it has been a little bit, where we had some pretty lighter episodes, and now it's all just smashing together in story-wise at the end. But that's cool. I mean, that is the way that movies work. It's just we're watching an animated TV show.
I also really love the animation style. It's really well done and fits the story very nicely. And when we do get that kind of action hero lineup at the end, you know, it's fun. Skeleton says to the bride and they
look at each other.
Yeah, it's a good no. When he's it's like, oh, wow. You know, cool new look or whatever he says. And it's just a fun moment of like, oh, shit, this is getting exciting.
And one other thing just before we wrap up here, because I don't think we actually talked about it on the last episode, but the show has been picked up for a second season, like we mentioned earlier.
Nice.
So that's cool. That's exciting. That certainly shows a fair amount of faith in it from Max and from Warner Brothers Discovery. I'm sure DC Studios is all in on it, but... That's
a good sign. That means people are having fun making it, you know?
Yeah, they're having fun making it. But I think also I always get concerned about the viewership figures because they never share this stuff. All we know is where it is in relation to other things on Max, at least in terms of Max tells us. But James Gunn did say that they very purposely are releasing things weekly because conversation increases. Like they saw that with Creature Commandos. More people are talking about it every week, so more people are watching the episodes. Is that a ton of people? I don't know, but it's definitely heading in the right direction. So that's, again, a positive sign.
And what do you think? If it increases and gets more successful, second season, third season, live action movie?
Ooh.
My big question about that is timing, honestly, because they've also said they want to wait until James Gunn writes all of the episodes to move it forward. And animated series, it varies a little bit, but like we're talking at least a year and a half, if not 2 years between seasons, which is why they're usually like secretly picked up or split into two seasons or something like that. So unless they have done a secret working out of the background, which it doesn't seem like they have, we're talking second season of Creature Commandos sometime in 2026.
I don't think they could do that. I don't.
Just gotta stay alive till then.
They've done that though. They've done that with Harley Quinn. Has had huge gaps between the seasons
but then they plugged those gaps, and now we're doing at a much more regular pace, right?
Yes. So yeah, but my point being that like I could see the picking it up for a second season. I hope they don't wait for James Gunn. I hope he like provides an outline and then passes it off to a writing team. Like he apparently had a good time writing the scripts on spec and then passing them over to this guy, Dean Laurie, who also is showrunner over on Harley Quinn, at a writing team to like finish them up. So if he could provide outlines, because he probably has a lot going on, throw it over to them, they could get on a more regular pace. But I still think it's not going to be until 2026 at the earliest that we see a season two, but then they would have to pick it up for a season three before that to get it on a yearly schedule. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
Well, then maybe it would make more sense to do second season live action movie.
Yeah.
I think a live action movie is the next iteration of this rather than a live action series. And a live action movie is going to feel a lot like a Suicide Squad movie, since that's what this show also feels like.
Yes, pretty much. We will see what happens, and we will be there for the final episode of the season. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Creature Commandos. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky. Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, I love your skeleton, bones and all.
Aww. Wow, was it Father's Day? See, now, Boulder Dash, that's a game with skill. That's a game that requires skill.
Bring it, dude. You can't boulder my dash.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.